What we most often listen to and sing along to can tell us a lot about us. It can resonate with how we're feeling. Music, singing can change how we're feeling by lifting our mood. At the moment, many people on social media are talking about what songs they've been listening to during the year. Music streaming apps like Spotify and Apple maybe helpfully track your listening habits. And then at the end of the year, they share them with you to show you what you've been listening to most. Mostly it's a bit of fun to find out who makes it to the top of your list. But I can imagine for some it's a reflection on how their year has gone. Now, I wonder if you can guess, when it comes to Christmas songs in Australia, what our society listens to most. I did a little bit of research and was surprised at what I found. The most streamed Christmas songs in Australia, according to Spotify: All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey, very catchy tune. It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Last Christmas by Wham, very good. Santa, Tell Me by Ariana Grande. It's The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. Let It Snow by Dean Martin. Do They Know It's Christmas? Band-Aid. And how could it not be in the list? White Christmas by Bing Crosby. And of course, Jingle Bell Rock. Very catchy as well. I was shocked, actually, because the most listened to songs, the top 10 Christmas songs in Australia, have no mention of Jesus or the story of Christmas. No mention of Jesus or the story of Christmas. Instead, we have some admittedly very catchy tunes which sing about the nostalgia and festival atmosphere of Christmas, the spirit of giving, being with those we love, asking for romantic advice from Santa. An encouragement for people to care for those less fortunate during Christmas, breaking up. And of course, an ironic fascination with snow and Christmas. Australia! Keep on dreaming about that white Christmas, because it is statistically very remote. Now, you and me, looking at that list, may indeed wonder, has Christmas been hijacked? No mention of Jesus, no mention of the Nativity. Not too long ago, I heard a story of a grandparent and a primary school-aged grandchild sort of walking through the shops, and upon seeing a Nativity scene, the primary school-aged child asked the grandparent, what's this about? For me, I couldn't understand how this could happen. But thinking about the popular songs that are played during Christmas and the absence of teaching Christianity in public education, well, maybe I can. When it comes to celebrating Christmas, it's like we live in a multiverse. One universe where Jesus is born, and another universe where there's snow and reindeer. We live in a society where many people are celebrating this festival which we call Christmas, but for all different reasons. So what are we to do as Christians preparing for Christmas? How do we survive with secular Christmas songs all around us? And how do we engage what is going on in our culture around us? Should I get outraged every time Mariah Carey's version of All I Want for Christmas gets played in the shops? I might get upset a lot, maybe. Do I roll my eyes in self-righteousness and shake my head and ask why she's just missed the point? Do I pull my kid out from their end-of-year Christmas concert at school because they're all singing Santa Claus Is Coming to Town? I mean, do I want to encourage this? Or do I complain to my boss at my work function this month because they're playing Christmas songs that aren't anything to do with baby Jesus. And should churches pull out of community carols events because other groups are performing songs that seem to reference a totally different reading of Christmas? And what are we communicating to others about Christianity if this is boxed up with other kinds of narratives? If I look through the Bible, then I find there's nothing that talks about dealing with secular Christmas songs. But I know we're urged to be concerned with the truth. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Maybe we could say sing about such things. And I think this is right, that we concern ourselves with the truth and not add to the confused narratives around Christmas that we hear through songs and other traditions. But does this mean we disengage entirely? I think some Christians survive secular Christmas songs by cultivating kind of like a hostile attitude to their use and culture. But this approach risks living our day today just a bit too critical of society. It treats all songs of the Advent Christmas period as needing to sort of measure up what might be appropriate for church worship. But Christmas carols were not always meant for singing in church. The word carol has been associated with Christmas, but its original usage was to refer to a carol song, a song in a round accompanied by dance. And carols by the end of the 14th century were sung at festivals. They were written as popular songs for singing in the home and not necessarily religious and not necessarily in church. So in church history, there are Lent carols, the Easter carols, as well as Advent and Christmas carols. But there's always been non-religious ones as well. My point is that early on, they were often sung as part of a festival, and people have always been in different places when it comes to celebrating. Christmas can have Christmas trees, gingerbread houses, ham, presents, and whatever traditions people come up with. Christmas as a festival in society can have all these things. But for the large part, I mean, what's the problem with people in our society simply wanting to express their feelings, their nostalgia of past Christmases? To sing about snow, even if there is no snow. To sing about love and breaking up. To sing songs that are playful, fun, and imaginative. I imagine people sing or listen to songs that are a reflection of where they're at, where their life is at, and what they're ready to affirm. And often Christmas songs can trigger both good and bad memories from our childhood experiences. If we have a generous attitude to the various Christmas traditions in our society, then this can be perhaps an outworking of the exhortation in Hebrews 12 for Christians to make every effort to live at peace with everyone. By not having a hostile attitude towards secular Christmas songs at school or the local community carols event, then this could be a way that we can show our love to our neighbours. Our non-Christian friends may love secular Christmas songs, some of which may, from our perspective, feel a little bit empty and not kind of getting to the heart of what we see as it's all about Christmas. But can't we affirm what is good in those songs and find out what those songs mean to them? So how do we survive secular Christmas songs? Well, on one hand, we want to honour what is true. We don't want to be part of obscuring the true story meaning of Christmas. And let's be honest, there's a lot at stake if people don't hear that story. And on the other hand, we want to show love to our neighbour and we want to live at peace with those in our lives. And it's such a good thing, isn't it, to encourage people to celebrate Christmas with us. Well, let me give you two thoughts coming out of my reflections. First, the way to survive secular Christmas songs is to meet people where they are. People are going to sing. We're made for it. Whether we're good at singing or not, we like to listen to music and sing when we're happy or sad or anywhere in between, whether the words are perfect or not. And our global world being what it is, although many may try, there's no way any personal organisation can control what Christmas traditions we all practice. And gone are the days we all live in a small village where there's one monoculture. Therefore, it's good if Christians enter our culture in school, our workplace, shops, community carols, events, with mindsets that doesn't outright reject, but engages where people are at. Christmas songs often contain desires that are only truly fulfilled in the gospel, actually. So when you listen to a song, ask yourself, what is good? What is the good in the song which I can affirm? As Christians, we can affirm the human desire for special times with family. We can affirm fun times, even in snow settings. Rather than some of us being triggered perhaps by the mention of things like Santa, we can affirm the desire and practice of giving gifts to each other. Rather than getting upset by do they know it's Christmas time because it has no mention of Jesus, we can affirm songs that draw us to think about those who are less fortunate at Christmas time. By engaging with culture, I don't suggest we should agree with the song or be naive to songs that may have an underlying message of commercialism, greed, or superficiality. And I'm not suggesting we don't advocate for the playing of excellent Christmas carols in public spaces. But I encourage you to use your insights into Christmas songs to talk to others about the deeper values the song highlights, to affirm them for desiring what is good in those things, and if appropriate, point people to how those good desires are perfectly fulfilled through Jesus. I think the reason why the Christmas period is so hard for many people is that the very moment when society celebrates family, gift-giving and getting together, then this makes us all the more acutely aware all the ways in which our lives fall short of this ideal. Second thing, the way to survive secular Christmas songs as Christians is actually to let your own singing reflect what brings you deep joy. Before I give you a more full answer, let me take you to our reading, Luke chapter 2, 1 to 20. Luke records that Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census be taken, and so Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem where Jesus is born. On the same day as Jesus is born, angels appear to shepherds nearby and announce news that causes great joy, news of the birth of the long-awaited Messiah and Saviour. And Luke could have left this next bit out, but he writes, verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests.'" I love the sudden praise from a great company of the heavenly host, because while announcing the news from the angel, you know, one angel perhaps was great, here we have evidence that heaven itself can't contain its excitement. No one or two angels bursting into song, but really just the whole multitude of voices putting into song the feelings, the joy, the wonder, the enormity of what God is doing. Not just talking about it, but singing at the top of their lungs and singing to a group of ordinary and humble shepherds who would normally be the last people to hear important news and really be and witness such a miraculous kind of concert. Note here, the singing was suddenly in response to the big announcement. This is not the first time in Scripture where there's singing in response to God's salvation. Back in chapter 1, we have Mary bursting into song for being chosen to bear the Saviour. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Then Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, after once he could speak again, prophesied and also then praised God for what he was about to do through Jesus. Singing in response to what God is doing is such an appropriate thing to do for us as God's people. Psalm 96:2, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Isaiah 12:5, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Zephaniah 3:14, sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. Of course, in James, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And you might think, will our singing stop? Well, no. We have this great picture in Revelation 7:9. With all people from every tribe and nation standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and with palm branches in their hands, crying out, imagine singing in one voice saying, salvation to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So that singing just keeps on going in response to God's salvation. Now, the big reason I wanted to give you a little tour of all the places in Scripture that there's singing in response to God's salvation is to remind you how appropriate it is to reflect what brings you joy by singing of God's salvation during Advent and Christmas. And we can sing great songs that are more somber-like, O come, Emmanuel, as we yearn and wait for Christ's return as King during Advent. But we can also respond in joy to what God has done through sending Jesus as a baby, singing those carols that reflect our good news and gospel hope in Jesus is such a great thing to do. It's okay not to be enamoured by some of the secular Christmas songs. So be intentional and discerning about what you listen to and sing. We cannot control what others sing about, but we should take responsibility for our own traditions to ensure that what we celebrate in song honours God. I think particularly for parents, it's important to create traditions in your own with your own children that pass on the core gospel news in the Christmas story. Sing the songs because you can't expect society to do this for you. We should focus on singing Christmas carols that centre on the gospel story that totally get the reason why Christmas is so special for everyone. And it doesn't matter if you have a broken or missing earthly family, in Jesus, we have a bigger spiritual family. It doesn't matter if there's no snow, because every Christmas is perfect because of what Jesus has done. As Christians, let's not be sidetracked perhaps what our culture is doing or not doing right with Christmas songs and traditions. Let's use this season to connect with others and where they are in life at the moment. Let's focus on Jesus and celebrate him, and let our songs of the good news be heard wherever they're welcome, and reflect our deep joy in Christ.